96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Dozens of African leaders are in Washington tonight to talk about everything from economic development to corruption during the first U.S.-Africa summit. But what language or languages are they using? Certainly, it's likely each of them speak more than one. That's not always the case for African Americans, however. Some of us are bilingual, others multilingual, but a great many of us speak only one language. So why is that? And is it time for a change? Well, joining me to talk about this are Halima Jenkins, a multilingual grade school teacher. Duke Taylor is a vice president for the Global Language Network. And Karen Gould is the chief education officer for Language Stars, a national organization promoting foreign language studies for children. The lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher. Or you can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Thank you all for joining me. Let me get right to this. Halima, why do you suppose that African Americans, the lion's share of us, do only speak one language, English?
Well, I think there are a couple of factors that influence where we are with that. One, if you look at the media, and I know a lot of things go back to the media, but there are Black American celebrities out there who speak other languages, but I don't think that that's necessarily highlighted for our young people. For example, basketball player Kobe Bryant is fluent in Italian. Actor Boris Kodjo is fluent in German. Actress Kat Graham from The Vampire Diaries, she's fluent in several languages as well, but I don't think that this is necessarily on the minds of young people. Second, I think we're still in a time where there are plenty of kids, particularly Black kids, who might get teased for doing well in school or for being incredibly articulate, talking white, so to speak. And so if you still have that to overcome, then throwing in something that's going to make you even more different, like a foreign language into the equation, just, you know, creates another thing to deal with.
But Duke, let me ask you this, because Halima makes a very interesting point. But it seems to me that based on your personal histories, that your upbringings are actually probably much more akin to those celebrities that Halima just spoke to, as opposed to what may be considered the broad brush of an African-American experience. And I'm talking about, you know, perhaps two African-American mm-hmm. parents born in an urban or suburban or exurban, you know, situation. So you guys speak several languages, but yeah, most of us don't.
You know, here's where I'll depart from what you just said, though. So I agree with a little bit of what you're saying, Halima, is mm-hmm. in that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that speak the language. It's just, you know, we don't portray it in the media. And so I think what you're saying when you said lion's share, it was good to add that modifier because, you know, I'll take myself. In terms of the language of economics, you know, it may not be easy for you to just hop into a classroom and start learning a language. But I grew up in a homeless shelter. So I always say, you know, for someone like myself to have traversed the sort of the ladder of, you know, economics to be where I am, where there's a will, there's a way. So, you know, my parents did both speak different languages growing up, but there was always an emphasis of, you know, you have to speak English, you have to speak English. So I just developed the curiosity. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm with the Global Language Network, because we try to awaken that curiosity within a lot of people in terms of wanting to be, you know, fluent in another language or just having a comfort zone or developing a comfort in another language.
Karen, help me out here when it comes to, from your opinion, some of the benefits and some numbers as well. When is it best to learn a language? Is it when your parents are multilingual or bilingual as a really young child? Because, again, the question here is this, is it time for African Americans to
restart this issue of being bilingual. But if you're not now, when?
Well, from our point of view, and the research backs this up, the earlier the better. As a child approaches puberty, the nature of language learning and storage changes and becomes a lot less flexible. So there's really this window of opportunity when the brain is really hardwired to acquire language naturally. So as young as possible, we recommend getting started. If a parent has a language skill, by all means, we love to encourage them to use that language actively with their children. For many Americans, they don't have those skills at all, but they are, I'd say, more and more parents, more and more educators and leaders are really recognizing that knowing another language is, it's not a luxury anymore. It's really becoming a strategic imperative, and so they're looking for ways through schools and programs to do this, especially if they don't have those skills themselves.
And about Halima, and in the very beginning, I mean, your background, come on, I mean, it really is a rather unique one. Can you give me kind of a thumbnail sketch of that?
It's interesting. I mean, what I have in common with most Black Americans is that both my parents were born here. My mom is from Brooklyn. My dad's from Maryland. But at the same time, I was raised in an environment that supported language. My maternal grandmother spoke British English and French and as her official languages. And then she also spoke some Russian and Chinese. She was raised in French-occupied China. My mom, who's from Brooklyn, learned French in school but could also practice with my grandmother. And when my brother and I were growing up, that was something that she really fostered for us. So whereas when we were kids, you know, she worked on accent, pronunciation, and culture. And when we took it in school, the American Standard Middle School and High School, that's where we really acquired grammar and vocabulary. But I completely agree with Karen that early start is paramount to our ability to just acquire language and reach a level that will allow us to functionally use it by the time we reach adulthood and open so many more doors for us.
And I get the economic piece. Look, I learned Spanish in eighth grade. By ninth grade, I unlearned it.
You unlearned it.
I unlearned it because I did not have any opportunity to use it. And the next time that I had an opportunity to use it was in the Dominican Republic when I took a vacation. And that was about 10 years ago. Now, granted, if you are immersed in a culture that promotes a language other than yours, yeah, I still pick up eighth grade language. And by the end of the vacation, I wasn't fluent. But yes, I could communicate. But even if we learn, African Americans learn now a different language, whether it's Spanish or French or Mandarin, as you know, the global economics dictate that maybe that's a really important thing for us to learn as, you know, as China continues to grow as an economic power. How do you find a position or a situation where you can continue to use it and not unlearn it as I did?
Yeah, well, you know, here's why I'll depart from this and say let's get in the street for a second.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, you could literally go down the street and learn Spanish if you
now. Yes,
absolutely. Because if we're talking about, if we're getting into the meat of your question about why I would even rephrase it, there's an opportunity for African Americans to learn another language. Why not? I live in Northern Virginia, but I could hop right across the way and in Annandale, let's say, and there are plenty of opportunities for me to practice. You go to restaurants, there's opportunities to practice. And, you know, so one of the reasons why the Global Language Network, we have a vision that's to try and connect people through language and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a website where people can subscribe to the service. But, I mean, we're just trying to create confidence in the language.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also trying to open up people to the possibility of maybe traveling to a country where they can learn that. But look, if you don't even have $5 in your Metro card, the idea of going to another country or, taking a class may not be as accessible. But we can also say very practically that there's an opportunity to go down the street now here in 2014 to go and try and practice a language like Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
We're in D.C. We're in the District of Columbia.
I appreciate that. I want to continue this conversation on the other side of this break. And I'm going to talk to you, the listener. A lot of folks want to get in on this conversation. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Is it time for African Americans to learn another language, to become bilingual, to become multilingual? What's gained by that? We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're asking tonight, is it time for African Americans to learn more than just one language? My guests are Halima Jenkins, a multilingual grade school teacher, Duke Taylor, he is a vice president for the Global Language Network, and Karen Gould, chief education officer for Language Stars, a national organization promoting foreign language studies for children. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone call even after 7:30 when we switch over to Sirius XM Channel 141. Let me go to Quintus calling from Colombia. Quintus, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Good evening. Awesome topic tonight. And I'd like to first answer your question and then just kind of pose a theory.
Mm-hmm.
First, I'd say not only is it time, I think it's past time that African Americans learn another language. And I want to base my argument in an economic context. If you consider the fact that the globe is shrinking, and other countries are becoming more economically powerful, we will almost be forced to speak their languages in order to compete on an economic basis. So if you think of China and Germany, those powers, as they grow, in order for us to do business in their countries and in their native land, it'll be imperative for us to be able to speak those languages to do business and to compete economically.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, if you think of how other countries and their citizens who've immigrated to the United States have been forced to learn our language, they've already known their own languages natively. So if you think about it, them learning English as a second language has already given them a leg up. So it's going to be important for us to learn a second language. And I got to tell you, the gentleman who is the vice president of the Global Language Network,
mm-hmm, Duke Taylor.
My four kids and my fiance and I will be coming there. I mean, we speak probably five languages amongst the six of us. But the fact that you have that program in place is extremely encouraging. So my name's Quintus. You'll be hearing from us, but great, great topic. But again, that's my argument that we're already behind in that economic context.
Quintus, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Karen, talk to me about how the children that your organization interacts with are different from children that do not master the foundations of a second language?
Sure. You know, the great thing about starting young, there are so many benefits that these children reap. Research shows that when children learn young, they do better on basic skills tests in elementary school. They show enhanced spatial relations, problem-solving skills, improved reading skills. They go on to do better on math and verbal SAT and ACT tests. There are all sorts of neural connections that form when we expose children to a second language young. And those benefits really end up translating into overall academic performance. We see kids with enhanced confidence, and that confidence spills over into other areas, academic performance, willingness to try new things, explore new places.
Widening one's horizon, so to speak, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
I need to take a break, Karen. Stay with me because I want to continue on that specific point on the other side. If you are on the phone, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on WHUR and on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More about African Americans and being multilingual on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio.